All right, welcome back to Between the Lines. The legend of the Edmund Fitzgerald remains the most mysterious and controversial of all shipwreck tales heard around the Great Lakes. Her story surpassed in books, film, and media only by that of the Titanic. I'm reading off the website from the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the sinking of the Edmund Fitzgerald on Lake Superior, November 10, 1975. Joining us on this segment of the show, Executive Director of the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum, Bruce Lynn. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm doing great. Pleasure having you on the show. I was in junior high school when the Edmund Fitzgerald, when she sank about 17 miles north-northwest of Whitefish Point, Michigan. She almost made it. She almost made it, huh?
She did. Yeah, she really did. She was really close, and I think, most people who have researched this and people that were out there that day believe that had she actually gotten into Whitefish Bay, that ship and crew probably would have been okay.
Wow. So take us back to that evening when she set sail on the far western side of Lake Superior.
Right. Yep. The Fitzgerald had loaded in Superior, the port of Superior, and at that point started heading eventually to a place called, or was meant to go to a place called Zug Island in Detroit to deliver that iron ore, those taconite pellets, and took a northerly course right around two harbors, met up with the Arthur M. Anderson, another ship that was making its way downbound, and they took a little bit more of a northerly course. You know, they had been, Captain Ernest McSorley had been talking to Captain Bernie Cooper, Cooper of the Anderson, and a McSorley, of course, for the Fitzgerald, and they had discussed the weather and decided to take a little more of a northerly course to kind of be in the lee of that northern Canadian shoreline. And, they were doing reasonably well. If you read some of those radio reports until about the time they made the turn, kind of more toward in the eastern end of the lake near the Slate Islands and to make their way down to hopefully to get to Whitefish Bay. And then at that point, they really started getting beat up a little bit. And as you said, not too far, 17 miles anyways, northwest of Whitefish Point was when the Fitzgerald disappeared, both on the radar, and then there were no more radio communications at that point with the crew on the Anderson in their pilot house, and it's really kind of history, I guess, after that.
Is there a thought or a theory on what caused her to go down?
You know, that's a pretty hotly debated subject even still. 44 years later, there's a lot of different theories that perhaps she hit an unchartered shoal, or maybe she got too close to the six-fathom shoal that maybe Bernie Cooper and the Anderson thought they were closer, they being the Fitzgerald, than he would have wanted his ship to be. There's an idea that she was just gradually losing buoyancy, had been taking on water. Captain McSorley had mentioned he had his pumps operating, trying to keep up, and that there were three incredibly large waves, bigger than the other massive waves that were out there that night, that overtook the Anderson. And then not long after that, presumably it overtaken the Fitzgerald, and it was right about that time that she disappeared from the Anderson's radar. So they think maybe that might have had something to do with those massive waves. But the bottom line is there's no real we just don't know, I guess. There's no real factual way to tell us exactly what happened that night. So it's still a mystery at this point.
It shows you how, the Edmund Fitzgerald was a big ship. She was, and it shows you how powerful water is.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we're talking a 729-foot ship. When she was launched, you know, she was the largest on the Great Lakes. There was a Detroit newspaper that called it the largest man-made object dropped into the Great Lakes when the Fitzgerald was launched. She was a massive ship even by today's standards. Sure, the 1,000-footers are just that much bigger, but, it was a big ship, and the idea that a ship like that could disappear so quickly without even time to get a distress signal out is really hard to comprehend.
It is. That's just incredible. So do you folks hold a special ceremony?
We do.
On the anniversary?
It's actually on Sunday. So it's going to be on Sunday. That's the 10th. And we do a couple things. We have the museum open that day, just the main gallery that's got our permanent exhibit. Inside of it, it has the bell from the Edmund Fitzgerald, which was recovered in 1995. So we have the museum open, just the main gallery, from noon to 4 that day. And we have our little theater we have on site is open as well. There's a short video that we show that talks about the Fitzgerald and the recovery of the bell. But then that evening, Sunday evening, we have, starting at 7 o'clock, there is what will probably be about roughly an hour-long ceremony where we have speakers come in. We do a call to the last watch where we ring the bell 29 times for each sailor on the Fitzgerald, and then a 30th time for all sailors, all mariners lost on the Great Lakes. And that's really it. We have people from the local community that will be up here for it. We have the Coast Guard from Sector Sioux St. Marie here. They'll be here helping out and ringing the bell. And so, you know, it's an event we've done for a very long time, and it tends to have a very good turnout. But I'll say this, we've had Mother Nature, as she often does, present some interesting weather for us. We've had some freezing temperatures, sub-freezing temperatures, and snow and ice and everything else. So we'll see. We'll see what the weather's like, but we've got a good 3-4 inches on the snow, or on the ground, of snow right now.
Unbelievable for this time of year. Yeah. All right. Executive Director with Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum, Bruce Lynn. Bruce, always a pleasure having you on the program. The Edmund Fitzgerald and her crew will never be forgotten. Bruce, great to have you on the show.
Thank you, Greg, very much.